Welcome to Right Lane, a podcast of the Tampa Bay Times and the Poynter Institute. On this podcast, Times reporter Lane DeGregory discusses her stories and answers your questions. The focus is on craft. My name is Maria Carrillo, and I'm a former enterprise editor at the Times. Today's topic, the guy. That's a hard one. The guy. Wait, you'll understand.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In a minute. This story starts with a question. So let's do that first. Lane's going to read the beginning of it.
At the end of the rodeo, Lee Greenwood's anthem blares through the speakers at Westgate River Ranch. I'm proud to be an American. The crowd stands. The music builds. As the singer asks God to bless his country, four horsemen gallop into the dusty arena, unfurling 7-foot-long flags. The flags are red, with white letters rimmed in blue sequins. Each man gets a word. God. Bless. The. USA. You wonder, who's the guy? Think about it. The dude two horses ahead gets to be God. The next rider is Bless. The cowboy at the end is Mr. USA. The third horseman isn't even a noun or a verb. He's just an article. Superfluous, except for grammatical purposes. Who is the guy?
When did it hit you, the idea for this story? Because that wasn't why you went, right? You were going to do, was it just like a rodeo story?
No, we were doing a travel story on this dude ranch. It was sort of like a Disney dude ranch in the middle of Florida. And it was just supposed to be a Sunday travel story. So I took my two boys who were like 9 and 10 or something then, thinking, you know, we'd have a fun weekend away. And the highlight of the weekend, they did, you know, hay rides and a sing-along and horseback riding and stuff. And then the highlight of the weekend was Saturday night. They had this little 2-bit rodeo. And so I took the boys and we were drinking, you know, like soda pop out of a plastic cowboy boots type thing. It was like that kind of a cheesy experience, you know. And they're watching the rodeo and they were the ones who thought about it. They started laughing. They were like, the guy. I think my 9-year-old said, that guy gets to be God. That guy gets to be blessed. And he's Mr. America. And the guy, who's the guy? And so then they started like, you know, little boy ribbing each other, like, you're the guy. No, you're the guy. And they were like just making fun of each other the whole rest of the weekend, calling each other the guy. So when I got back to the newsroom and I wrote the travel story, I just told my editor that. I said, oh my God, the funniest part was my kids were making fun of this the guy. And he goes, well, who is the guy? And I said, I don't know. I didn't go try to find out, you know. And he goes, well, go try to find out. So he kind of like saw it as a story. I thought it was just funny that the kids were, you know, laughing about that. And he sent John and I back, the photographer and I back the next weekend to go find out who it was. And so I called ahead of time, you know, I called the Dude Ranch people and I said, I'm from the paper. I want to do a story on the guy. And they're like, Oh, yeah. We can help you with that. We can help you with that. You know, so I never in a million years thought anything other than like, let's go find whoever, you know, is the loser in this four horsemen.
So your thought was, this is a really like, pretty simple story, straightforward, you know? Yeah. And it's all hanging on how, you know, you get the bad word or the lame word as by comparison. Obviously, you find out what you find out. And then when you write the story, you write it as like the way that it unfolded for you, right? You had no idea they were messing with you, I guess, until you got to get your pizza, till you went to the pizza stand and you met the guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we had gotten up there really early and we had pancakes with this kid Grant and his parents who ran the river ranch, and he said a prayer and they told us what a great student he was and he was going to go be some in the military and he's the most wonderful kid ever. And so we followed Grant and then this other older guy with his like handlebar mustache as they were like wrangling cows and riding across the ranch and filling the hay wagon and stuff. And Grant, the young boy that they told us was the guy, was hardly doing any work. He was just like do in his little his little pressed cowboy shirt, and the other guy was doing all the hard work. And so John and I, the photographer and I, were like laughing, but we were following this little Lord Fauntleroy kid, like he's our guy. And it was pretty controlled by the family in terms of what we were doing and where we were going up until they took a break for dinner. And there was this one little like snack bar place where you could go get food. And so we went and we're standing in line. I had my badge, my press badge on, and John had his cameras. And we're standing in line to get pizza. And the guy, the other cowboy guy, the older guy with the handlebar mustache, is behind us in line. He goes, "What are y'all doing anyway? Like, what's going on?" I said, "Oh, we're here, from the paper. We're writing a story about the guy." And he starts laughing, like slapping his leg and laughing. He's like, "Well, that explains it. That totally explains it." And we're like, "What? What?" And he goes, "Well, this morning they told me to switch flags with Grant because he's usually Bless. And today I get to be Bless and Grant's the guy." And I was like, Are you kidding? I thought his head was going to explode. We were so incredulous that could possibly have happened. And that, how did we not know that by now? What kind of terrible reporters are we that we hadn't like asked anybody else about the guy, but they were all in on it because we talked to other people and they were all in on talking about Grant. So at that point in time, it was like, okay, we can't eat dinner. We got to go figure this thing out. So we talked to Ike for a little while. We kind of found out his story. And he wasn't mad at all. He was just like, "Sure, Grant can get the publicity. I don't care." But he was like kind of a loser cowboy guy living in a mobile home with his girlfriend and a bunch of dogs and like a farmhand, you know what I mean? And here's Golden Boy Grant getting ready to go off to the Citadel or something. I forget. But so we talked to Ike for a while, and then we went out because they were getting ready to rehearse for the rodeo. It was right before the rodeo. And we just went down the line in the chutes, the rodeo clowns, the steer ropers, the cow people. Like, who's normally the guy? Who's your regular, ordinary the guy? Oh, Ike. So the reporting was not confusing at all. We knew like what had happened and we could pretty much pin down what was the truth. I remember thinking at that point, we should just punt the whole damn story. That we should just be like, okay, you know what? Never mind. Screw you dumb people. We're not giving your ranch any publicity. We're not doing. And I called my editor then, who was at a dinner party. I remember him saying like, "I'm going to be at this fancy dinner party." Couldn't get cell phone because it was way out in the middle of nowhere. Climbed this hill trying to get cell phone connection and finally reach him. And I try to sputter through what's going on. And he goes, "Well, go write about that then." That was about all I got. It was like, he did not want me to drop the story. He thought it made a better story, a more intriguing story. Like, just report out the mystery, and talk to as many people as you can about Ike. But John, the photographer, was super beside himself because he had been taking pictures of the wrong guy all day. So he does this ballsy thing at the end of the rodeo where he climbs up in the booth where the announcer is. They have this around the ring of the rodeo. And he gets the announcer to go, "Will Ike and Grant please report to the booth beneath the announcer's stage?" And so John got him called in there so he could get a portrait of them together and basically be like, "Look, dudes, I'm getting some out of it." And I think, if I remember right, Ike had the black hat and Grant had the white hat, which couldn't have been more perfect, for that portrait. So
it's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
It's true. You see, Mike was right. The lie was the better story. I mean, if Grant actually had been the guy, then it's probably a kind of a boring story. He grows up in the rodeo, his parents make him do this thing. But actually, for whatever glory there was in not being the guy, he was something else. And then they made the farmhand guy be the guy. But I don't know. It's so amazing to me. Like, we know people lie to us. People lie to us all the time. I mean, right? And people mislead and they try to throw you off track and all. But to lie over something as simple, something as unimportant as who carries that flag. I can't imagine you guys, your heads weren't exploding all that day and all the way home, you know?
Oh, totally. And I was kicking myself in the butt of like, why didn't I ask better questions to begin with? Why did I just trust them? You know what I mean? But then the other half of me was like, why would you lie about that? You know, but it really is a lesson, I think, for journalists of all ages and ilks, like people freaking lie, you know, check everything they tell you. I mean, one of the only stories I've ever punted when I got into the reporting of it and then decided not to write it was this man I was writing about who had adopted a beagle and he went to have a beagle birthday party. So he was on this like mission to unify all the beagles from this litter that had been born. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll go to a beagle birthday party. That'd be super fun. You know, the dude was lied about his name. He gave me the wrong name. And when we went to background him, he didn't exist. And I called him up and I was like, dude, what? Oh, I'm not telling you my real name. I'm like, well, then I'm not writing about your beagle party. I mean, it was so innocuous. You know, it was nothing at all that could have been misconstrued or bad or negative at all. But he did not want to give me his real name. So
it is a great lesson because you're right, though. I mean, even people will lie about the stupidest details that you think are unimportant and that your inclination would be, who would lie about a thing like this, right? I mean, it's like, And the whole way they set you up was like, you know, oh yeah, well, we'll introduce Grant. And of course, Grant's, I guess, going along with it for whatever glory there is in a story that says I'm the guy who rides that horse. I wanted to talk about, you did something I thought was really cool in this story, which was that you incorporated your own thoughts and impressions as you were going along. So in other words, you imagined who the guy would be, right? And you tell the readers who you imagine, right? And of course, it's not Grant. I mean, it doesn't match the picture of Grant at all. But you use that to set up who you're about to introduce. So I'm curious about, you know, how you thought to do that. Why? What were you thinking as you were putting it together?
I think I'd have to give my editor a lot of credit for that one, because he kind of talked me through that. And he kind of said, before we went back, he's like, well, what do you think that the guy would be like? You know, like in the midst of what these monikers are and these flags, like how would you conjure this person up to be, you know? So he kind of took me in that direction ahead of time. And then after he said, go ahead and write the story, it was like, let's take the readers on the ride. You know, I think he came up with the idea of doing it second person, because he was like, the theme became like incredulity. You know, what would you think? What would you do? How would you react? And so I think having that second person inclusivity maybe popped the story to a little bit more fun, like level of experience than if I had just reported it out or said it in first person, like, God damn it, this guy lied to me. You know, like I don't ever really like to be in my stories, but it was sort of a way to bring the readers into that same situation and the same like, holy cow, really?
It was a nice hybrid because it was like you playing detective a little bit, you know, like, okay, wait, did they lie to me? Wait, is that possible? And then, yeah, I like how you went through and asked everybody. And then the story, it's like, you know, this guy said it was like, it's like, so then as a reader, you're also growing a little like, you know, you just can't believe it. You just can't believe that somebody would do that. I mean, it, and also because it's such an easily caught lie. I mean, you know, it's like, it didn't take you long at all to figure, like nobody else was hiding it. Right. So I don't, it's amazing. How'd the family react when you came back around and you said, busted?
And the mom wouldn't talk to us. The mom walked away and she's like, no. And she just kind of put her hand out. Grant was embarrassed. You could tell he was embarrassed. Like, I don't even know if he wanted to do it in the first place or parents just put him up for it, you know? And the dad was sort of unapologetic. Like, well, Grant's a much better story. I mean, I think he even said something like that, you know? Like, he was completely unflapped and unapologetic about, you know, blowing smoke up his boy's butt, you know? They were also very Christian, I should add, which added to me a little bit of, like, they were so God and Christian. And, I mean, Grant's flag was blessed to begin with, you know? It's like, and then just to not even care that they were going to just deceive, you know, however many thousands of readers or whatever. And make Ike live a lie too.
Although Ike didn't care, because like Ike had the right perspective about, this is a story about guys who carry flags in a rodeo. It's not like Watergate people. There's a great kicker on this story, and I'm not going to give it away, but I wondered if you remembered whether you had that kicker in mind when you started writing.
I think I had something like that in mind because I was thinking, my mother is an English teacher, and so grammar was a big part of my growing up, and I kept thinking about the articles and button or and like what that part of speech does, like what it signifies. So I don't know if I had it before I started writing, but I think it came while I was writing for sure. It wasn't like I sat there and went like, where do I end? It was just like, oh, aha, that's where I can end, you know?
Did you hear from anybody else after the story ran? Anybody else associated with the rodeo or all those people just like, they probably, I don't know if they were newspaper readers or picked up on the story.
Yeah. And our paper doesn't circulate there, you know?
Oh my God. So it doesn't even circulate there.
No. So I mean, I heard from a lot of readers who thought it was really funny. And I heard from a lot of like other journalists who were like, good on you for, you know, following this through or whatever. Readers really liked it. I mean, they really liked it. But no, I don't think I ever heard anybody from anybody at the ranch again. They really liked the travel story that I did. So I'd heard from them, you know, the week before I went back to report the rodeo when they really liked me because they liked the travel story. But then I didn't hear crickets after the guy story.
The family doesn't come across looking good, but you don't pile on either. I like that about that. I don't know if you were purposeful about that too, thinking about how you would, because they're really come across like the bad guys and ridiculous. But you didn't have to go very far with it.
Right. And also the stakes were pretty low. You know what I mean? Nobody was getting hurt. Nobody was getting ripped off. Nobody was getting like maligned. The stakes were pretty low. So I didn't feel like I needed to like really hammer them.
You were. I mean, they were trying to.
To us. Yeah. But it was more like, I think incredulity or like WTF was what I wanted readers to come away with. Cause that's how I was feeling, you know?
Yeah. So was Mike happy with this story at the end, your editor?
Yes. And I think short little cursory lines are Mike's. Like he had a good way of like, when the paragraph that started, think about it. I think he added, think about it. You know, he had a really good way of slowing things down, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, the pacing was really exceptional, I thought, too. It was just like you're walking through this and it's a really unusual story. So if you haven't read it, definitely get in there and read this story. Don't forget, you can find other episodes on pointer.org/rightlane, and please join our Facebook group. This podcast was produced by Jesse Lau. Music was composed and performed by Dan DeGregory.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.